One verse of scripture over in the book of Proverbs, and then I'm going to go back to Psalms chapter 61 there. And it's going to be a little different this morning than what it has been. After I read the verses, I'm going to ask you to do something. And I just want us all to just look at it and just, I want you to think about it. But it says right here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, in verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer." This morning, I want you to think about the 18th verse there, where there is no vision. Now, you know that probably each one of us has got a vision and what we would like to see happen here at Faith Baptist Church. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, and if you don't mind, I would love for y'all to I want to ask y'all a question, and I want each one of you to think about it, and I want you to give me what you think that your vision is for Faith Baptist Church. Now, we all have a vision. And it depends on the vision that we have is the outcome of the life that we live. Now, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Now, what he's saying right here to the people, he's saying it to me and you also. I believe that this one verse right here is speaking to the Christians. It's speaking to the ones that's saved. But where there's no vision, we're the people. And if we don't have a vision, and what we feel like that God wants us to do here at Faith Baptist Church, then we're going to perish. We may not go out here. We may not just be able to go ahead. We may not lay down and die. But what we're going to perish in is the happiness that only God can give us. It says right here in verse 19, that a servant will not be corrected by words, for though his understanding, he will not answer. We cannot give an answer to what God wants us to do unless we have a vision. You see where I'm going? We've got to have a vision. And my vision has always been this, it always will be, for people to come into the house of the Lord and be saved. That's my vision. Because the only way the church will ever grow is through new souls. They will not grow with memberships transferring their membership from another church to here. We can have probably 10 or 15 more people come in, but if they transfer their membership from another church, Faith Baptist Church as a whole still has the same amount of people. I know we have other people in here, but the church itself has not grown. The only way the church will ever grow, and God speaks of it, is through the new birth. It doesn't speak about that my family, my home life And my family is going to just grow if I just invite somebody in. I can go and I can go and talk to my mother or someone, and I can ask this if they ain't got nowhere to stay, or my mother, like, she really ain't got no business staying by herself. And I end up talking to her and convince her to come and live with us. Has that household there grew any? No. It hasn't. Still got the same number of people under the roof there. Me, my wife, and my daughter. Because that's what was there first. For that church, for that household, and for me and Shelby and Christy to grow, has to be a new birth. Has to be a child that's going to be brought into this world. But we need to realize that the only way we can understand that is through the vision that God has given us. I can have a vision of inviting my whole family to my home and coming out there and staying out there. But has my household grew any? No, it hasn't grew any. Because it was not a new birth. That's the same way with the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to be here and concentrating on this one body and this particular building. We're supposed to be concentrating on the kingdom of God. And if we got the right vision in the kingdom of God, then we have got the right motive in our heart. We see over there in the book of Psalms, chapter 61, the very first verse, it says, hear. Now the word hear is not a capital H in their small letters. No, all of them are capital letters. So the word here, there, the reason they got the word here, there, and capital letter, because it's important. Important. What are we saying? We're saying hear God, hear Son, hear the Holy Spirit. Would you please hear my cry? Hear me as I had the vision that I placed on my heart for the kingdom of God. Now, as far as the kingdom of God's concerned, it's for us, we're the body of Christ here at Faith Baptist Church. The only way we can grow is we have to grow within the same body. And as we grow within the same body, we're going to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of God the Father. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. He said, God, what's that? God, I just want you to hear me. I mean, I'm not going to come to you with no big fancy words. God, I just need you this morning. I just need for you to do something within Faith Baptist Church. I need you to do something with the lives that are here. I need you to do something with the community here. And I'm coming to you through prayer, with the attitude, with the intentions of getting a hope to the horns of the altar. The horns of the altar is God the Father. We need to get a hope to Him. And when we get a hope to Him, then we can go out and we can start doing some stuff. But hear my cry. Have you said anything lately about that? Have you just been in your prayer closet? At work or at home or wherever? And something all of a sudden comes upon your heart. Have you just really cried out to God, said, "Oh God, please listen to me now"? God wants us to be plain with Him. He don't want us to be big. He don't want us to use big fancy words. He wants me to just ask Him right out what I want Him to do. I need for Him to touch my life like it's never been touched before. I need for Him not only to touch my life, but touch my wife's life and my daughter's life like never before. And not only that, I'm asking the Lord also to touch your life and touch the life of Faith Baptist Church like it's never been touched before. We need to cry out. And we need to have the attitude of prayer. People today, they get this word prayer mixed up. They think that if they're not praying a certain way, that they're not talking to God. I know over in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, one of them, is that we have the model prayer. What that is, that's just a prayer that we don't need to memorize and say that prayer all the time. It's good to repeat. It's good to say that. But when we do that, that's not coming from our heart. What's coming from our heart is just something simple. Just something simple. When God called me to preach, I said, "Now you call me. You want me to preach? And then He started burning me down about pastoring. Did I ask the Lord? Well, Lord, you want me to pastor? Well, how much am I going to have? How much am I going to go and pastor a church? You know what He told me? The only thing you need is me. Never have, never will put a price on the Word of God. I can't. There's no price that I can put there. But I do appreciate what money that the people as a whole could give. I don't ask for that I have to make this or I make that. Why? Because I have a vision for God. God has placed a vision in my heart. God has placed a vision for my ministry. Now I want to ask you something. Has God given you a vision? Has He? If you don't know what that vision is, you need to pray that God will give you a vision. That God will give you a vision in the way that you need to go. God gives you a vision in the people that you need to reach. God needs to give each one of us a vision. We can all look. And I want you to. I want you to just turn and look that way. Look from the very first pew all the way back. It's empty. Right? God can give you a vision of someone that He would love to see on that pew. God can also give you a vision that you could have to see someone on the pew behind you. We have got to have a vision for us to go forward. If we just want to keep on going like we're going, and we just want to kind of just serve God the way we're serving Him, then we don't need to ask for no vision. And what vision we do have, we might as well just take it and throw it out the window. Because we need to put some feet behind the vision. We need to put some speech behind the vision. Because if we don't go out here and tell people, and what's happening at Faith Baptist Church, and they can come back and they can say, well, yeah, but I understand that y'all have about 8 that Sunday. They said, what do you mean 8? It was 32 that Sunday. We come in, we had a ball. Just let them know that you love God. Let them know what you want to do. What you want to do, that you're crying out for the soul. And you want the very best for them. That's what we want. That's what I want for my brother. I want the very best for my brother. I've done all I can do. I've talked to him. And that's all I can do. But I can still bring him up to God. And God will touch his heart. I don't know when. Because I'm not on the same time that God is on. I don't have the same thoughts that God has. But when I do pray for my brother, I pray for him that the Holy Ghost of God will get a hold of his heart, will bring him to his knees. And if he don't listen, and if he don't realize and who is speaking to him, then that's when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost has got to do something else. And I hate to say this, but sometimes it takes death within our family. It takes death to get a hold to someone's heart. You know, myself, I'm going to take myself for instance. I know I got to go back to the doctor in March, the Duke, about my liver and all and my kidneys. I know that. But I'm standing here this morning and I'm telling you that I would rather for God to take me home than to see my brother die and go to hell. I know it would be sad for my wife and my daughter, yes, and my mother and my other brothers and everything. But if that's the only way that he could see where he needs God, and he would accept him, I'm willing to do anything God wants me to do. I lay my life down. Because God's got it anyhow. We need that vision. What is your vision for Faith Baptist Church as a whole? I know we got a vision on the kingdom of God and building up the kingdom of God. But God has also given us the vision to where we can start right here. We can start here. We can start here in this community. The harvest is so big out there. The harvest is so big. That we cannot imagine if what God can do if we just allow Him to. Thank you. See you a little later. Take care. We're praying for you. But I tell you, we as individuals, and I hope that, I believe I can say what I'm going to say, that and it won't offend nobody. But I'm going to ask you something. Do you want Faith Baptist Church and the kingdom of God and what we have, what God wants us to do for the kingdom of God, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied within your heart in what you're doing for the Lord? Are you satisfied in the way that Faith Baptist Church is going? Are you? I'm not. The only thing that God asked us to do he's saying to us, where there's no vision, where there's no vision, the people will perish. He's speaking to the Christians. But if we don't have a vision for them people out there to get saved, and if we don't pray with that type of vision that someone will be able to go to and lead them to the Lord, we don't have to be a selfish individual. I'm not a selfish individual. Hey, I mean, I don't want this church to be a selfish church. Hallelujah. If somebody from a tabernacle cutting will come down the road and they stop and they witness to somebody and they lead someone to the Lord. Hey, we in this thing together. We're in it together, not just for Faith Baptist Church. We're in it together, until the day comes when He takes us home. And that's not going to be very long. I was reading over the book of Daniel. I believe it was chapter 9, I believe it was, where Daniel was looking at the wall one day and he seen something written there on the wall. He had a vision of what the writing was on the wall. He had the vision of what was written there on the wall, that he knew that God was going to take care of him. Because it wouldn't be but a few more verses down
that he was going to be thrown in the den of lions. Well, it wasn't nothing but just the lions there. And they probably hadn't been fed. I don't know. If the Roman soldiers and Nebuchadnezzar, they going to take him and throw him in with the lions and everything. I'm probably sure that they hadn't fed him that day so far. But we'll see one thing, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't know. And the others that threw him in there, and they did not know who God was. They didn't know who God was. They just said, when the three Hebrews, when they was thrown in the lion, in the fire furnace, they said, well, we see the three Hebrew children, we see them in there. But you know something? There's another one in there. And what we have heard from what the children have told us and what Daniel has told us and what other individuals told us, the fourth one is like unto the Son of God. Like unto. They told Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't saved then when he threw the three Hebrews in a fire. He wasn't saved when he done all of these things. But he finally got saved. Why? He got saved because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Of all the harm that he had done to all four of them, they was praying for his soul. We got people out here today. They won't come to church. You can go invite them. They won't come to church. But you know, I'm not supposed to go back to them again and talk to them about church, because I had already done it one time. I can go back and I can visit them and I can tell them. I said, I'll tell you one thing. Yes, they didn't church. I'm by war today. I'll tell you one thing. God, he was in a mood yesterday, and he just really got a hold to us. I'm going to tell you something. I felt the presence of God. And you know something, one thing about it. There has not been a time that I have not come into this building here through Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, through the revivals, and through the Jubilees, that I have not felt the presence of God. Why is that? Why would I say that? The reason I can say that, and I can say it with all confidence, and knowing that God is here. And he does. He sends a little breeze my way. Like that little breeze would come up and just hit me on the side of the face. You know the reason that I know he's here? You know the reason that I feel him every time? Is because I know what the people here believe. I know that you believe in the Word of God. I know that you believe once saved, always saved. I know that you believe that if you do not get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. The only way that you can escape the penalties of hell is accept Jesus Christ. I know that. I know that you know that. That's the reason I can feel the presence of God.
But yet somebody else can come in, and if they come in with an ill spirit, it can hinder the work of God. And we should never allow that to happen. You know how we can get by and go to the get to the point to where that will not happen? Even though that they may be lost when they come to them doors. And there's not an individual that I know of that's lost that does not have a wicked heart. But the reason I know what I said, because when they come in, we must go to them and shake their hand. And just said, I sure am glad to see you. What's your name? Don't belittle them. They don't need to be belittled. They don't need to be told about their particular sin. They already know it. They don't have to depend on me to tell them what they do is against God's will. They know it's wrong. That's the reason people are not happy today. The people that the most miserable individual that I know of, and I think I said something here the other week about it, is that Christian that was here in church, but now they're nowhere to be found. They're miserable. But we can go to them and we can just feed the truth and the happiness to them to where they can overcome that misery. How can they overcome that misery? If they get back in church. If they get back to where they know that they need to be. Hear my cry. You know, we as men, because you see most ladies, they will shed a tear. They will cry over someone else. But a whole lot of times the men won't. And the reason why is because we had learned so many years ago that we're supposed to be the macho man. That the macho man does not cry. You tell you what I told the individuals down at the city farm one day. One Sunday afternoon. I was down there, been about 5-6 years ago, maybe just a tad longer than that. I was down there. It wasn't this one particular verse, but it was in the book of Psalm somewhere else. It's talking about, hear my cry. I said, you know, I know that you men in here, some of you men think that you can go ahead and you can fight a bear. Some of you men think that you can go ahead and do anything that you want to and it don't bother you. That because you're a macho man.
Because you're a man. You can't cry. You can't. If a man cries, then he's not a man. No. Let me tell you what qualifies a man to be a man. It's when he's willing to allow something to touch his heart. To touch his heart, well, about somebody else. I told him, I said, you ain't no macho. I said, you know what we got down here? And some spoke out. So I mean, some of them on the back road back there, they always speak out. They say, I'm just as much a man as you are. I said, have you ever cried? Have you ever shed a tear? Nope. I said, well, you ain't. I'm just telling you like it is. You ain't nothing but a wimp. A wimp is an individual that don't show no emotion. Don't show no feelings.
You want to be a true man? Always remember that you're willing to shed a tear for someone else. Same way with the ladies. And I know the ladies has a much more tender heart than the men do. I realize that. But we don't need to have the heart that God says that man has. We don't need to have that hardened heart to where we cannot allow it to touch us in a way to where we don't care for people. I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, God's called me to preach, and he wants me to pastor. And I told him, I said, that's great. 2 or 3 months later, saw him again. You know what he says? He says, I don't love people. I don't love people. Now, to me, how can an individual stand up and preach God's word? How can an individual be the under-shepherd of a flock of people that God is so gracious to give them if he don't love them? You will never take care of your people if you don't love them first. You've got to love them. Because I am a representative of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not the pastor of this church. He has placed me here. I am the pastor. He has placed me here. I am the under-shepherd of the shepherd. Sometimes the shepherd, my shepherd, the one that's overhead that I answer to every day, he's got certain things that he wants me to do. He speaks to me about things. The things that goes on that. And he will say, not now. You don't have to bring it up. You just pray about it. You just love the people. You just love the people.
Do I have a vision for Faith Baptist Church? Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I've had some people to ask me, say, I had one preacher, and that was Brother James Albert, asked me. He said, have you got a vision for the church down there? I said, oh, yeah, God's put a vision now. You know what my vision is? My vision right now, the first vision,
is to see this sanctuary here completely full, with not no empty pews at all. See the choir filled up. No space about will be eliminated because of it. Did my vision beyond that? Because I know if we get to the point and if we allow that vision to God, and we need to ask God to allow Him to put the vision on our hearts. And when He does, we'll always have that vision until that vision comes to pass. And then He will give us another vision to look forward to. I know that if the choir, if the congregation, if every one of the pews, if they're completely full, and then the choir loft is completely full, then I know that back out in the nursery, we're going to have some babies back in the nursery. And we're going to have all the rooms downstairs filled for Sunday school. And we're going to also end up having probably more running over there. And we're going to have to go in the middle and invite up some more rooms down there. That's the vision that God's given me. And if all that comes to pass, what is the next vision God's given? You know what the next vision is? That God has given me the vision to go and talk to Brother Ricky. The septic tank man. I can't think of his last name. You know his last name? I want to say Turner, but ain't it. But I know. See, God's placed all these visions there for me. But I have to work. I have to work on them one at a time. Because if I take them and I put them all in a basket, and I say, well, I'm going to work them on all of them at the same time. When you do that, nothing's going to happen. My wife or my daughter mentioned this yesterday. Talking about the new president up there, Donald Trump. He says one thing about him. Says when he goes out there and when he speaks to the people, he's blunt about it. He speaks to them and he tells them exactly what he's going to do. But when Obama was president, when he went out there to speak, he spoke to the people for 45 minutes, an hour, and you still did not even know what he was going to do. That's the difference. We have to do it God's way. Talking about Ricky. God's already given me the very words that I need to go to Ricky about. When we get to that point. And it may be another year or two, another 4 or 5 years, I don't know, 10 or 20. I don't know. I need to go to him. And I say, bro, Ricky, how you doing? Doing all right. Knowing Brother Ricky, he'll come back and he said, how the church doing? I said, man, we talking about the church now. Whew. I'm give out. I said, God's blessed. I said, but what I came to see you for is that God wanted me to ask you something. And God wanted me to ask you about how much would it take for us to buy some of that land right above the church that you got. Because we need to add on to the church. How much would it cost me? How much would it cost the church? How much would it cost God? That's what I'm saying. How much would you charge God for the land? Brother Ricky will probably say, well, since you put it that way now, since God wants it, it's his anyhow, so I won't just go on and give it to him. Because it's his anyhow. He just loaned it to me. And here it is. I've been paying taxes on it all these years. Says, I'll just give it to you. Well, they give it to me, or just if he gives us a price, we go purchase it. Then after we get the building fund built back up a little bit more with all the people that we have, it won't take long. Then we'll have a construction crew to come out here and say, which way do you think that we can build the church, add on to the church, to where we can add on some more rooms? He said, well, you got a door right there. I don't see why you can't just go out from the door and go that way. Says, how much land, isn't that land over y'all? Yeah, we got some land. We'll say, well, shoot, man, y'all can go out there probably 150 foot, maybe 200 feet out that way. Then that way you can put you some more classrooms on. God does not stop with one vision.
God says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. He has given us the vision. I hope that you got a vision. If you don't, you need to go home and you need to pray for it. You need to pray that God will give you that vision. And as God gives you that vision that you need to pray for, you don't have to go out here and at the same vision that I have. You need to allow God to speak to you about what you would like to see happen here at Faith Baptist Church. You know, in May, it'll be 3 years that I've been here. Something's going to happen. Something's got to happen, because three in God's word is a symbol of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then the next one, we're going to be able to come up on number five, which is going to represent grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Then after number five, then we're going to have the next number that comes up for the Christian that we need to look at is number seven. And the number seven in God's word means what? Perfection. Completeness. So he's not going to ask us to wait.
He's not going to ask me to wait another 4 years and to have a vision. See, God put that vision on me before Brother Bill even asked me would I consider being a pastor. I already had the vision. God had already given it to me.
That's my vision. That's a portion of my vision. That's a portion of my vision. It's not all of it. Which if I, you know, I could tell you much more. But we ain't got time. But I want to ask you. And if you don't mind speaking out. And I know each one of y'all can speak. I know that. I know y'all can talk. But I want to ask you something, man.
I would like for everybody to give me what you think about the vision that you would like to see here. Who would you like the vision that you would like to see here at Faith Baptist Church? I've told you my vision. What's your vision? We all need to have a vision. Because if we don't have a vision, we're going to perish.
Well, mine's pretty much the same as yours. I want to see the Sunday school rooms filled and the choir filled.
And, amen.
And I know we've got to pray harder. First, we need to pray that God will stir up the people in the area, stir us up first of all.
Yeah.
Stir them up and just put feet on their crowds and get out there and talk.
That's right. And just talk to the people and let them know that, hey, whom you serve.
But we're not limited to prayer.
No, because that's power in prayer. Yeah, and if you happen to go out and see anybody, if you happen to visit somebody, and if they say, and if they got little small children, they say, well, I need to wait until they can grow up a little bug and everything, so they won't be so loud in church, because I'd like for them to be in church. You just tell them, hey, just bring them on. I mean, if that child gets loud to the point that I can't hear myself preaching, I'll just have to raise my voice.
We got two nurseries. It's waiting for.
That's right. I mean, we got the room right now. We really do. But no.
We've got to use resources that we have today.
That's right.
People, you know, whether it's age or time, can't beat bushes, you know, like they did 20 years ago. We got to use everything the Lord's given us, whether it's internet, television, radio.
That's right.
When you're at work, you know, you don't have to just talk about work. You don't have to. United States, the government says you can't bring up your religion, but they can bring up Muslims, they can put Muslims in school, they can teach gay agenda.
All right.
Should be able to use whatever resource we have to tell everybody about.
That's right.
I'd like to see this church forgiven. I still like to see it have a radio station. I'm thankful it's on the internet, but I'd like to see it do more.
Yeah.
Everybody don't agree with me.
Well, I don't think it's the point where nobody don't agree with you. I think it's maybe the point is it's so few people that they probably feel like that we just don't have extra funds to do something like that. Which, you know, but if we pray and we end up having the vision to do stuff like that, if you got that vision to do what you want, what you'd like to see happen here at the church, and Sister Huff and the rest of y'all, then it's nothing that cannot come to pass. Because God, He is God. He's willing to answer our prayer, and He wants to hear from us, and He just don't want to hear the same old from us. I mean, He don't want to hear me with that same prayer all the time, because they're gonna come up to me and they're gonna say, "Well, here come Donnie. I know what he's gonna pray for." You know, we need to always be consistent in prayer. But if we don't pray for something, we need to leave that alone and go to something else and let God handle that prayer. But the reason a whole lot of that prayers are not answered is because we don't allow Him to answer the prayer. Because we go in and we take it back up again. We say, "Well, God, you know, I ain't heard from you lately about the prayer request." Hey, I mean, the way I like to see Him answer the prayer request may not be the way that He wants to see it answered. And I promise you, I do promise you that when God does answer the prayer, He has our best interest at heart. Anyone else? I hope, and I'm praying that He will touch my legs a little more where I can stand up on them a little more and a little better.
You can sit down and scrape
your right. Well, I'm willing to do that too. But no, it's a whole lot of work that needs to be done on the outside, on the cosmetic. Because if we don't do it, it's going to end up getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, then it's going to end up costing us more and more and more. So we can't, you know.
When we know company is coming at home, we'll get ready for them,
though. Yeah.
And if we expect those people to clean up, fix up, it's
ready for them. That's right. But, you know, we just got to be mindful that what God wants here. And I believe that we are doing what God has asked us to do. But when you don't have but a few people, as far as doing a whole lot, we can't do a whole lot. I mean, I would love to be able to have a singing every once a month or once every 2 months. But I just don't feel right by inviting the people and asking them to come, and then we just don't have anything to give them. Because a whole lot of times they take it, it's out of our time, and I know they don't ask for it. And I mean, if they come and they ask me for it, say, well, how much is the church going to give me? I said, well, really right now, I said, we don't have a dime, and I really don't have to wait maybe a couple, two or three years before I can call, you know, ask them to come. I mean, basically put them off. Because if they tell me if they're going to, they need a certain price, I wouldn't invite them anyhow. Because I don't think you need to go and you don't need to put a price on the ministry of God's work. Because God has so much more to offer us through His blessings. But, I just been pondering it and everything, and what to say and all this, and the way to say it. And I just said, well, shoot, all I got to do is come out and just say it, I reckon. Just say it. But that's what's on my heart. We need to, because we got... I mean, and I do. I thank the Lord for the jubilee that we've had. I really do. Because God is blessed in the jubilee. He really has. I mean, it's really, well, the first year we had it, we had one saved. So that right there is worth 10, 12, 15, 20 more years of it. Just that one individual. But we need to start, I reckon, just get busy. And we need some more, and I don't really like to say it this way, but we do. We need people. God needs more people to do His work. That's the reason the church needs people. So we can go out and do God's work. And not only that, we need some people that can come down here and can work down here at the church. Outside. I know that you can't. And I wouldn't expect you to. Because each one of us has health problems. Each one of us. Even my wife, she has the biggest health problem of them all. And that's me. But, we need people. And I believe if we'll keep that in our mind and keep that vision there, that what we would like to see. And you're talking about the radio station, Brother Bill? If we ended up if we end up getting more people in here, and the quicker we can get more people in here, that means the quicker that we can be able to start a radio station. I don't think if people were... maybe they were against it before, but I don't think they would be if we had the funds coming in, because we just need more funds to do stuff like that. Do y'all see where I'm going with all of this? Y'all going to help me to pray about it? Y'all going to help me to where... y'all can just, this week, if you're just thinking around or something like that, just thinking about somebody, a neighbor, or somebody in the community where you live at, or maybe somebody that you work for, whatever. Just write their names and address. I promise you, they will not know where it come from. I know it's been mighty cold here lately.
and raining, I will not go and visit somebody in the rain. I can't do it. I can't make myself do that, because that would be, I think, unjust for them. Inspecting a pastor to come to our church just to visit and come tracking in. I mean, you can sit there and you can wipe your feet off, or you can take your shoes off and anything. But you're going to come in. But and we need to pray for one another. And I will ask all of y'all to remember Brother Jimmy. I know that Sister Huff, I know that you've had it tough. I don't know. I know of it, but that's about it. But I do know that God can take care of that situation. And I can understand where Sister Huff comes from. It's coming from. She's a mother. She don't want to have to put her son in no nursing home in any way possible. I know that. My mother didn't want to put my brother in no nursing home either. But he had to go after he had the surgery. He had to go. And he had to go, and where he was at, he was over there in over there next to not past, it was on past Eden. But, you know, in which when we went over there, I took her over there, and we rode over there, seen him. And she didn't want him over there, but she knew that she couldn't take care of him. And it broke her heart. And she still, at times, she still even has trouble today sleeping. She does. You can ask Shelby.
That's because
of that. Yeah. That's because, you know, he's not here no more. But I've told her. I said, Mama, I said, think of one thing. If it hadn't have been the physical condition that he was in, and he didn't have to have his surgery, I don't know if he'd have got saved or not. But I know he did. I was there. I witnessed it. I witnessed them great big crocodile tears. And you're talking about somebody that a macho man. He thought he was a macho man. But when it really got down to it, when God touched his heart, God broke that heart. And he cried. He cried out to God. Like he said, God, hear my cry, please. He did. And it was hard for me just to even keep quiet in the room, but I knew I had to because of the condition of his health and everything. They didn't want him to get excited and nothing like that because he'd been through surgery, right, much of surgery. But boy, when I come out, my mother knew what happened. My wife did. And I think the rest of them knew what happened. But in them knowing, you think I kept my mouth shut? Nope. I went out there. People coming up and down the aisle. Because we was all standing out there in the hall. And I lift my hand toward heaven. And I says, thank you, God, you saved his soul. He cried unto you. I know that if he was to go to now, right now, I know that I'm going to see him again. I know that I'm going to see him again. But I can't. I don't know with my mother. I don't know if she understands it or not. But I can't get it in her head. But let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father God, I pray that you'll go with each one of us to our respective home. And Father, that you will continue to lay the visions upon our hearts, Father. Oh, Father. I'm begging and I'm asking for you to do something special for these people. Do something special for Faith Baptist Church, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. You ain't got